Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I want to welcome you to the show today. We're going to be talking about getting ready for school. I think what happens is it's a great time for kids with ADD during the summer. They really get to relax. Some of them are off their medication. Some of them are just able to have fun. Their creativity comes out. They're not dealing with the, as they like to say, the mundane, boring subjects of school. So a lot of things kind of go by the wayside, one being structure, which all kids with attention deficit disorder really, really need and they want, even though they'll tell you in many different ways that they don't. It really does help them a lot. So the structure goes away for many families, not everybody. I understand that. And as the structure goes away and we get deeper into the summer, it gets that much harder for them as we get closer and closer to the school year. So I remember when my boys were young and the end of the summer was not an easy time. Their acting out would increase, especially when they were younger, before they hit adolescent years. And at that time, I didn't have a clue as to what was happening with them. I didn't understand what they were feeling. I know now that their anxiety was on the rise because they were ruminating, thinking all the time about their return to school. It wasn't only about the academics, about going back to school and being bored. It was also tied to social interactions, which I know in working with children and adolescents with attention deficit, there can be a lot of social issues that come up. A lot of kids with ADD don't really are not cognizant of space, so they get in people's faces, or their impulsivity kind of turns people other kids off. They get in trouble in the classroom, and unfortunately, the teacher isn't sensitive to that, so may yell out something about the child, and then the whole class sees that and doesn't want much to do with the kid that's, in quotations, different. So all those thoughts were kind of ruminating, I guess, up in my boys' heads, and I wasn't aware of it. They were living in fear. And at that point in time, they were not able to verbalize how they were feeling. So I would escalate because I was totally in the dark. It was a downward spiral, and it affected the entire family system. So it really wasn't fun. It was a very difficult time of year for us. So structure being part of the school year had disappeared over the summer months, and the next thing I knew, it was the night before the first day of school. And they were not used to school bedtime. They would have trouble falling asleep and wake up with feelings of uncertainty because they didn't know how it was going to be. So it was very difficult for them. Uncertainty is something that really increases fear in children and adolescents with attention deficit disorder. So having ADD myself, I also struggled with the structure they needed to be successful. At that point in time, I wasn't good at setting up structure for them. So I decided to have this program today to help everybody out there get their children ready to go to school. I know some of you, the kids are already back in school. In fact, in Los Angeles, at LA Unified School District, they're already back. They started, I think, Tuesday of this week. But hopefully this will be helpful even for those who have already started. So if I absolutely knew then what I know now, things would have been so much easier for all of us. So I'm going to give you some steps involved in this whole process that I think might really help all of you listening out there to help your children or adolescent. So my suggestion would be 2 weeks before school starts to begin the process of easing your child or adolescent back into the school year. Okay, so what are the steps with that? Well, first of all, for children, you want to establish a bedtime that they will follow. So during the school year. So you're going to, if the children are, say, 6, 7, 8, I guess their bedtime would probably be 8 o'clock, 8:30. So what you want to do is start easing them into that 2 weeks before. And maybe if they've been going to bed a little bit later, then you want to start backing off a half an hour at a time. So, for example, let's say your 7-year-old has been going to bed at 9. So the first night, you may want to get he or she into bed at 8:30 and do that for a couple of nights and then get to that 8 o'clock time. I promise you that if you do this 2 weeks ahead of time, it's going to make a world of difference when the first day of school comes, and you'll thank me for this idea, because if I had known that, again, years ago, it would have been a lot easier for my boys. And that's what it's all about. It's about the kid. And the most important thing with this is that you've got to follow through. Believe me, I know kids with attention deficit disorder, and they're going to try to negotiate their way out of this. They're going to cry. They're going to make a big scene. They're going to tell you that they hate you or whatever else they want to say. You have to follow through. You have to very calmly, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago with the mindfulness show for parents, you have to calmly tell them you understand that they're upset. You do understand that going back to school can be difficult. Encourage them when they're getting very, very upset to talk to you about how they're feeling. And if they don't want to, that's okay, but you're there for them, but they have to go to bed at the time that you're telling them they have to go to bed at. It's really important. They've been doing a lot of studies on this disorder in adolescents to get their rest. Because if you don't get sleep, and this comes from somebody who has attention deficit myself, even today, if I have a bad night's sleep, my symptoms seem to get exacerbated the next day, even though I'm pretty much in control of them. I may get a little more scattered than I had been the day or week before, but a lot of it is because I didn't sleep the night before. So you want them to get a really good night's sleep and get up and have a good breakfast so that when they go to school, they can focus as best as they can. Okay, now with your adolescent, it's going to be a little different. You're going to basically talk about a bedtime, but you're going to engage them. You're going to ask them for their feedback, especially if you have adolescents that are 15 to 18 years old. I don't want you to dictate. I want you to coach with them and give them things to read so they can read about how sleep deprecation can really hurt and exacerbate the symptoms of attention deficit disorder. Engage them in this process. Don't just dictate to them and tell them this is the way it's going to be, because they're never going to individuate emotionally. They will be a child forever if you don't allow them to make decisions and be a part of the decision-making process. Okay, so if you then see that your child or adolescent is acting out, ask them about this. Ask them questions about it. If they're really acting out, if the children are crying, if the teenagers are angry, slamming doors and just doing things that you know is not normal for them, sit down and talk to them. Tell them you understand that they have mixed emotions about starting school. If any parents that are listening have attention deficit yourself, one of the things that I used to do with my kids is I would tell them what it was like for me when I went to school, because it wasn't fun. So they then knew that I understood how they were feeling, and that really helped them a lot. Because I think, as we all know, if somebody understands how we feel, then we're more open to speak to them because we're getting the empathy from them that we really need. Okay, so you're going to tell them you understand their mixed emotions and you want to be there to help them in any way you can. Now, this is the most important piece of this. When they're talking to you, you have to make sure you're listening to them. Listen with your ears, not with your mouth. So what do I mean by that? Many of us who are adults and raising children with attention deficit have it ourselves. You want to make sure that you can just be very quiet when they're talking and let them finish what they're saying. Otherwise, they're not going to feel like they're being heard. What you can do, if you have the habit of interrupting, you can actually get a pad and a pen. And as they're talking, if you're thinking of things that you want to say, instead of interrupting them, you can make a list on a piece of paper so you're not forgetting what you want to say. And then when they're all done, you can give them some feedback. And that's something that they really look for. They really want to be listened to, especially adolescents, because so many of them feel that they're not being heard. And then help them navigate their feelings. Talk to them about how they're feeling. Get online on the internet. You can get the emotion chart, which has all different faces on it, and it shows all different kinds of emotions. And especially for children and sometimes even adolescents, you can ask them to point at the face of how they're feeling, which makes it a lot easier for you to understand exactly what the feeling is that they're having. So help them navigate. Once they have identified that feeling, help them with it. Talk to them about it. It's okay for you to say, you know, when I feel sad, sometimes I don't know what to do. Sometimes I want to crawl under the covers, throw the blanket over my head, and just stay there all day. If you show them that you have the same feelings that they do, and you understand the things that they do sometimes to kind of push those feelings away, they'll be more willing to talk to you. Don't try and tell them how they feel. That was a mistake I made with my older son that he still talks about to this day, and he's 26. When he was growing up, I would ask him how he felt, and he would say something, and I would say, no, that's not how you feel. You feel this way. Because I thought I really knew how he felt, instead of really listening to him, and that really affected our relationship for a while. So please don't do that. And also don't try to make it right for them, because they're going to have to learn how to work through these emotions that they're having. Because anytime we experience any kind of adversity in our life, it can really help us to move forward in a more positive way. Okay, so your young child will look to you as a role model. So if you're positive with them, if you assure them that everything will be okay, then they will be okay. So if your little child comes and starts to cry to you because they don't want to go back to school because they're worried about how they're going to be treated by other kids, and you encourage them to talk as much as they want about it with you and tell them that you're going to make sure that this is going to be okay. You can talk to their teacher. One of the things that I can tell everybody who's listening out there, if you have little children, like I would say kindergarten to fifth grade, if you engage the teacher in the situation, the social interaction, that sometimes the teacher may not see that the child is struggling with, what the teacher can do is at recess time every day, she can buddy up children differently. And what I mean is she can have different partners every day for different kids so that your child doesn't feel different. Your child is just part of that whole rotation, and then they have to hang out with one person, and it kind of forces them to be a little more social and get more involved in the whole playground or recess process. So that's something I would definitely talk to the school about, especially if your child has a 504 or an IEP, which we're going to talk a little bit about in detail in a little while. Okay, so for the adolescent who's dealing with adversity, it can help them develop a much stronger psyche, which I think this is so important, because most of the children, adolescents, and adults that I work with have a very sensitive psyche. And what we want to do as they grow up is help them to develop a stronger one, so they're not as sensitive all the time, which really speaks to that inability to regulate their emotions. Assure both your child and adolescents that fear of the unknown is always worse than the reality of the situation. That is something that was taught to me many years ago by one of my first therapists, and I never forgot it. And you know what? He was absolutely right. And I think that all of you, as you think back to situations that you've had over the years, when you think about the reality versus all the anxiety and the fear that you had leading up to it, the reality is absolutely never worse than the fear and the anxiety that you had. So you can pass that on to your children, which I think will be very helpful for them. Okay, so next thing you want to do is you want to make sure that your child or your adolescent have all their supplies they will need for their first day. Clean out their backpack with them from the year before, or get them a new one. Whichever you think is right, you can engage them in that and talk to them about it. Then help them with organization. So especially the adolescents, talk to them about their ideas in terms of organization, because when it comes from them, you will see that a lot of times it will continue. If it comes from you, most of the time they're going to push back against it, because adolescents push back against everything that their parents tell them. So I would really engage them in the process. For your little kids, this is something that I do with my clients, and I offer it to my adolescent clients as well. It's called a accordion file folder. And you can get these either at Staples or Office Depot or Office Max. That's where I get them. So it's an accordion file folder that has 13 slots. And it has little tabs. They have little pieces of paper that come with it to go into the tab. And how I set it up for the child or adolescent that I'm working with is, what's your first subject in the morning? And if they say language arts, then language arts goes first, and directly behind would be a slot for homework. And then if the next subject is math, math would go next with a slot for homework. I think all of you listening are getting the idea of what I'm doing. First of all, I'm taking the thought process out of organization, and I'm putting everything in one place. So we don't have three or four different binders, three or four different folders, and they're losing things, because actually papers can very easily fall out of binders. I know they have now the reinforced holes for the binders, but when they put the papers in the front slot, the papers fall out. I know kids have lost them. Also, I did want to share that here in Southern California, where I work with all different school systems, school districts here, there hasn't been one school that has put up a fight about the accordion file folder. In fact, they really liked it because they felt it would really help their child in the classroom to be successful. So here's another thing. Talk to your child about colors. Let me explain. Many people with ADD, I'm one of those people, think in colors. So I have a color for every day of the week. I have a color for every single number. I also have a color as I was going through school for subjects. So, for example, math, to me, was always red. And it was funny because most of the kids I work with that have that color thing as well will usually say math is red. So the reason I'm telling you this is because for little kids now, kids that are still in elementary and middle school, even middle school, when they say red for math, in the homework section, you're going to buy a red folder and write homework on the lip and put it in the pocket that says homework. And I think you can see what I'm doing. I'm trying to prompt them when they open, zipper open the file, the accordion file folder, they're going to see the red folder that's going to kind of trick their brain to say, oh, that's homework section. So what's in there? Or that's where I put my completed homework. So you're going to do the color thing with every subject. What color do you think of when you think of language arts or when you think of social studies? All these different colors, then you're going to have folders that are going to match up with those colors, and the folders will go in the homework section. And I think what you're going to find is you're going to have a pretty successful school year with organization. But here's the key to this. Every week, you're going to sit down, or if you hire a coach, which I would encourage people to do, because you're going to get more out of your child with a coach. There's not going to be any fighting. Clean it out. Clean out the file folder. And what you want to do is, if you have file drawers in your house, or if you don't, you can get an egg crate, and you want to have folders that are color coordinated too, with math, language arts, social studies, whatever it is, and all the papers that you've cleaned out, you want to put in there and save. And a lot of people have asked me, well, why would I do that with a child who's in elementary school? Well, you're always getting your child ready for high school. And high school, they're going to have to keep papers because they're going to be studying for midterms and finals during the year. So that's a skill that you want to turn into a habit. And then at the end of the year, in elementary or middle school, maybe there's certain papers that they really want to save that you can put away somewhere for them for when they're older. So that's another reason that you want to do that. You know, as far as the adolescents are concerned, I would definitely encourage you talking to them about this accordion file folder. But if they really fight you on it, then ask them what they want to do and let them do their thing and see how that works for you. Okay, let me see what else. So I talked about the colors and also putting the papers all in one place. That's the biggest thing of all. So here's something I wanted to talk to the parents about. If you're the one that's going through the file folder every day with your child when they come home and all their papers are not in the right place, please, please, please do not yell at them. It is not going to help them. They're not going to succeed by you yelling at them. Talk to them about it. Find out what happened. Most of the time for the kids that I work with, when I see them and their papers are in different places, they tell me, I didn't have a lot of time at the end of the day. I had to put my papers, you know, all away. I always give them credit for putting the papers in the accordion file, whether they're in the right place or not, because that to me is a step in the right direction. But by all means, help them get the papers put in the right slots. So you want to make sure that all of math is in the math slots and language arts is in the right slot, all of that. You can help them daily with that. And just really encourage them when they're at least putting the papers in there. Don't make this a punishment because that doesn't work. Okay, so let's talk now about if your child's on or adolescent is on medication. So here's a few tips that I like to give my clients in terms of being successful. Always give your child their medication. Don't tell them to take it. This is very much about substance abuse. As we all know, or if you don't know, I'm going to educate you that in the world of attention deficit disorder, there is a higher substance abuse than in regular population. And much of that stems from wanting to self-medicate. So what we don't want them to do is think that because we're giving them permission to go take their pill, that they can go and do drugs. So I was always encouraged by my therapist that worked with my children to make sure that as long as they were taking their medications in my house, that I would hand them to them. So here's what I would do. I would put it next to their plate at breakfast time and just prompt them that it was there and make sure that after they finished breakfast that they were taking it before they left. And we were usually pretty successful with that. So that's the first thing. The other thing is don't talk about medication with your kids like it's the magic pill, okay? Because that's the other thing. You don't want them to look for substances in their life that are going to make them feel better. What you really want is for them to understand that the medication is just a piece of the entire process that's happening. So you got the medication, you're going to have coaching. If you need coaching, you're going to need therapy. If you need therapy, all these different things, tutoring, if you need tutoring, 504 plan, IEP, you can explain this to them so that they understand that this is not the magic pill. This is just one step in the process of pulling everything together. So just really be careful that you don't give them that message, because if they feel like you're medicating behavior, this, I can promise you, because it did for me, will cause resentment as they get older. And that's something that you really don't want to do. Okay, so let's talk about the night before school, which for many people can be very, very difficult. So you've already been 2 weeks into the process of getting them to bed on time, and they're having a hard time this particular night. I used to go through this with especially my older son, because I didn't realize at the time that he had a lot of ruminating thoughts in his head, not only about, as I said before, the academics, but I think also, was he going to be accepted? Was he going to get along with the kids? Is everything going to be okay? And we had moved around a lot, so that was another reason for that. So the night before, probably about an hour and a half before bedtime, just sit down with them. And if they're having a hard time, if they're acting out, if they're crying, or even if they're not, just say, hey, let's talk a little bit about tomorrow and, you know, what you think you can expect. And let them talk. Don't you constantly be the one talking to them. Give them an opportunity to let you know how they're feeling, because I think that that is the most important thing, that they have that safe place, that haven in their mom or dad that they can go to and really talk to them so they feel good. If it's a social thing, encourage them to be positive. You're positive about it and that everything's going to work out. You're there for them. You're going to do whatever you can to make sure that they're going to have the friendships that they need and want to have. That's really important. So you're going to get them in bed on time, and it's going to be a hard night for them. It's going to be difficult for them to sleep. So you're going to ask them what you could do to help them with that, and before you know it, the first day of school is going to be here, and they're going to go off. So for those of you who have 504s and IEPs, this is what I want to spend a little bit of time talking about. You want to make sure that the teachers are following the accommodations that you have set up with them with the school. So I would email the teacher after the first day of school. In elementary school, you only have one teacher. That's not going to be a big issue. Email the teacher, introduce yourself, and just explain that you wanted to make sure that they were aware that your child either had a 504 or an IEP, so that within the next couple of weeks, you wanted to make an appointment with them just to sit down and tell them a little bit about your child. And I used to do this every year because I wanted everybody to understand, both my boys, because they were so different from each other. I really wanted the teachers to understand who they were. So you want to do that. If they're in middle school, you want to make sure you include all the teachers on the email list. And if they're in high school, the same thing. But I would also encourage you to get into the school in 2 weeks' time, middle school and high school, just to touch base with the teachers, again, to explain to them who your children are, where your children's strengths are, the weaknesses, and how what you can do together to help to build on the successes for the children. In addition to the academics, you also want to address in these meetings any social concerns that you have. If you find that there may be some bullying going on, you want to make sure that the school knows that immediately, because there's a no tolerance for bullying across the country right now, and that's something that you really, really want to let everybody know about. And of course, your children and your adolescent are going to appreciate, even though your adolescent may not show you, that you're there for them and you're doing what you can to make sure that they're going to be successful. So here's the other thing. Make sure that everybody knows your child's creative side. Because one of the things that I did with both my boys that really helped them in their high school years was I made a connection to the school through their creative side. So I was lucky because up here in Palos Verdes in Southern California, PV High School had a program called Live from 205. So it was a live news program that went on twice a week, and both my boys were involved in the program, and my older son was the news director, my younger son, when he was graduating, was one of the lead producers. And this really, really helped with the grades. And I'm going to tell you why, because the gentleman who ran the program, he would throw you out of the program if you got D's. So if you had C's, then you could stay in the program. And I really didn't have to run after my children after that, because they had to answer to him more than me about their grades. And this is how they stayed on top of their academics. So if there's any way that you can kind of put together the creative side and the academic side at school and sit with the teachers and talk a little bit about it, tell them, you know, the things that your child does that's, you know, amazing and creative, and what can we do so we could tie this to school so they feel like when they come to school they can also experience their creative side. I think that would just be so helpful in terms of helping both your children and your adolescent to feel just more at home at school and not feeling bored all the time. Okay, so now that we've kind of gone through all that, I've got a special guest here today with me, and she is one of my clients. I've known her. Her name is Alexis Tissoni, and she has been with me. Alexis, say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Alexis, how old were you when I first met you? Because you're going to be 20 tomorrow.
I know.
That.
Was
you 12?
I was, yeah, I believe so. I think I was 12.
Okay. So when I met Alexis, she was in seventh grade at a Catholic school here in Redondo Beach. And when I met her, immediately I was able to see her creative side. She was incredible. You were such an incredible artist.
Thank you.
And I was focusing more on that, but her parents, of course, were very concerned that academically she wasn't doing as well, and they were really worried about her self-esteem. So why don't you just talk a little bit about what it was like for you when you were in elementary school.
With or without you?
Without me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So when I first started, and I'm very scattered. I'm still a scattered person, but
I love it.
I really didn't have any control over, like, where any of my stuff was. I was grounded pretty much every single weekend. I really didn't have any friends.
So sorry.
Eh.
That's hard.
It's okay. And it was really hard. And I didn't really understand why all the other kids were super smart and I, like, couldn't get, like, even, like, a C on a test.
Wow.
So.
Meanwhile, you're so smart.
Yeah.
You are so smart. She's incredibly bright. So it was difficult. I guess what you're saying is organization was your biggest thing.
Yeah.
Being organized was very hard for you.
Being organized was super hard for me. Also, I found myself being more interested in, like, other, like, creative things. Like, I would be doodling in class all the time. Like, I nonstop doodler. I also would, like, make, like, blueprints for, like, a clubhouse
best.
I never would ever make, but
you're the best. In school?
Yeah,
all
the time.
Let me ask you something. When you were doodling, could you still hear what was going on?
Yeah.
So you knew. You could pay attention and doodle.
Yeah. I've done that even through high school. Like, I would doodle or draw a picture or whatever, but I would associate whatever I was listening to in the background to the picture, so when I went back and saw the picture, I'd be like, oh, we were talking about the American Revolution.
Wow.
Or
that's incredible. See, and so a lot of teachers would get angry at you, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess if there's any teachers listening or parents that want to, you know, give this information to the teachers, I think this is brilliant, let the kids doodle. Because what she was just saying is she could go back and look at the pictures or the doodle that she was doing and be able to remember what the lecture was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't taking notes per se.
But I was, like, associating the pictures because I have, like, a kind of a, what is it called?
Photographic memory?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty amazing that you were able to do that. Okay, so elementary school, what was it like for you when you got to August and you knew that school was going to start?
Well, by that time, I would actually have my own little school set up in my house, and I would be the teacher. I got bored, I guess. But anyway.
That's great.
But going back to actual school, I would dread it. Dread it.
We used to talk. Okay, because I was just talking about, and I think you heard me, about how kids would act out because they had a lot of fear. Talk about that fear, and what was that all about?
It's just when you're different, going into a, especially me, I went to a Catholic school, so everyone was, like, in uniform. Everyone was expected to be a certain way.
Everybody was the same.
Yeah, everyone, okay. And I was this black sheep. So, it was really hard for me.
Actually, you were the star.
Oh, yeah.
You
I
were.
The,
you were the
star. Thank you.
You still are, but you were that back then. Okay, so being that black sheep, thinking about going back to school at the end of August started heightening your anxiety.
Yes. It was just really hard because I didn't have a lot of friends. I finally got some friends in eighth grade, which was awesome. But here and there, I would have, a few buddies, but never. Like, I was always afraid to talk to people because I knew that they looked kind of down on me.
Really?
Because I wasn't the smart one. No one wanted to be paired up with me because they didn't want a bad grade or...
Would they say that to you?
Oh, yeah. They would say it to my face. And, I remember specifically in eighth grade, I was doing a project, and I was working as hard as everyone else. But during the breaks or when everyone else was working, and I didn't have to, I would do something else, like doodle or go on the internet and look stuff up. But... I remember them because the students got to give the grade of everyone else in the group, and they all gave me an F.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
Did you participate?
Oh, yeah, I totally participated, and I didn't understand why. And then they were like, oh, because you were zoning off and not doing what we told you to all the time. And I was like, well.
And the teacher didn't get involved in that?
Oh, no. No.
So did you ever have it? Talk to me about. Let's first stay on the back to school thing because that's what the show is about.
Sorry, my ADD is coming out.
I don't mind too, so that's okay. So when you would start to feel badly about having to go to school and you would start to act out, what happened with your parents? Did they get what was going on or
not really per se? They would be like, "Wait, you were fine, last month." And I don't know, it just, I tried my hardest to just be like, oh, I don't want to go. You can't make me. But in the end, I was only 12 and they had.
Well, you had to go.
Yeah.
But did you feel like you could verbalize how you were feeling at that age or was it hard?
It was really hard.
Okay.
It's like trying to explain to your parents you don't want to go to school because you're afraid of social and academical situations. It's very hard.
Okay, but let me ask you this, and this is for everybody that's listening, is if your parents had come to you, like I had been just suggesting to everybody to go to their children with an open heart and sit down and talk to them and listen to what they say, would you think had been more open to that?
Definitely.
Okay.
Because I never really had that. So.
Okay. Okay.
Kind of just.
And in defense of your parents, because I know your parents and I love your parents, they of course had three other kids.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Definitely.
And I think that a lot of times we're not prepared for. I wasn't. I have attention deficit disorder. I wasn't prepared for the acting out and everything else that happened before school, even though, as I look back, I had the same reaction when I was a little girl. I mean, I hated Sunday nights. I hated the end of the summer.
Oh, yeah.
But I never learned how to verbalize that, nor could I, because, again, a lot of people just don't know what to do. Like, as parents, I think we see our children hurting, and what we try to do is just say, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Let it go. Because talking about it, you've got to listen to difficult things. And sometimes we can't make those difficult things right, so we just want it to go away. instead of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I guess in seventh grade, you and I met.
Yes.
And what was different for you then, would you say?
And what?
Well, what did I give you when I met you that you didn't have before that?
A lot of things.
Okay.
Like, right when I met you, you pulled out the
file folder. Yeah.
Which really helped me.
The accordion file.
The accordion file. It completely like changed the whole organization thing. It definitely helped. You also introduced me into the crate with all the files.
Right.
And that also helped. It was also really cool to like go back and look at everything I had done that year. And I was like, whoa, look at all the homework I actually did instead of like not having it. It was weird.
let me ask you something. The accordion file, did it actually help you to remember to hand in your homework?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, what also really helped is you told me to make copies of everything.
Right.
So I had extra copies. So when I did go to the teacher and she said she didn't have it and I know I had turned it in, I could just be like, well, here's a copy of it.
Right, which was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that happened a lot.
Right. And I think that when I first met Alexis, like, I just fell in love with her because she was the sweetest little girl. And also, I saw a lot of pain because I felt that you didn't feel acceptance. So what I try to do for my clients, especially the younger kids and the adolescents, is give them a tremendous amount of acceptance. Did you feel that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was like, don't leave.
And a lot of it is because my mindset, even though I'm not even close to being as creative as Alexis is, was very close to hers because we both dramatically understood the symptoms related to attention deficit disorder. So, again, when Alexis would come home and I'd meet her once a week and maybe her file folder wasn't perfect, I never, ever got angry with her.
Yeah, and I wasn't, like, used to that. Like, I was used to the yelling and the
right.
And I'd be afraid, literally afraid to tell my parents, like, oh, I forgot my book at school because I used to get, like, grounded because
right.
of that.
Right.
So.
Which, again, we all think as parents is the right thing to do because we feel like, oh, if we ground them, then they're going to remember. But see, that doesn't help because it only causes them to feel worse about themselves because I can promise you that you were probably kicking yourself.
Oh, yeah. I was already kicking myself, like, in the beginning. And then after that, getting punished on top of it, it was just double hard.
Right. So when I would go to see Alexis, I was always happy to see her. And if her file folder wasn't perfect, I never raised my voice. I never have had any negative conversation with any kid or adolescent I've ever seen because they have so much negative in their life. They need a coach. And for all of you listening, for those of you who do not live in Southern California and are looking for a coach, you have to find somebody who can really engage with their children. Like I was your age in so many ways. I could get down to your age, and I think that's why you and I engaged so well. It wasn't like I was, you know, 51 years old and you were 12 and I was trying to reach you from that age. I was really into the stuff that you were doing,
mm-hmm.
your drawings, what you enjoyed watching, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
I always encouraged that creative side.
Yeah, I would, like, whenever you would come over, I'd be like, oh, Justine's coming over. I have to get out my portfolio.
Yes. Oh, my God. You had so many sketchbooks. They were.
I have all of them.
Amazing. She's amazing. She's, by the way, Alexis is one of my case studies in my book that is at the publisher and due to come out in the next couple of weeks called The Gift of ADD, ADD Land, because I truly believe that, as Alexis does, that there wouldn't be Hollywood.
No, it's so true.
If there wasn't for ADD. So Alexis is in the book, and all of her incredibly creative self is in there, too. And there's actually other things, but we didn't have enough room to put.
That would be like a series.
we could do a book on Alexis alone. Because
art book.
Because she's so incredibly creative. So Alexis, after you left St. Lawrence, then you went, for a year, you went to a middle school.
Oh, yeah.
You did eighth grade over.
I did.
Okay. What was that like, moving from...
Oh, my gosh, it was so different. Like, because being in that little teeny school where I graduated, my eighth grade class was only 32 kids.
Wow.
To a class with over 100.
Wow.
That was insane. I wasn't used to it. I also, like, at my old school, I didn't have to go from classroom to classroom. I didn't have, like, a schedule, like... It was all in one classroom.
Right.
And maybe PE, you would go down the hill, or science, you would go in, like, the science lab. But I wasn't used to math in one building, and then you have to go to the next building. And it was all very, very different.
Was it hard, in terms of the attention deficit, to navigate that world since you weren't used to ever-changing classes? Because in elementary school, you were just in a Catholic school where there was one class.
At first, it was really, really scary, and it was definitely hard, but after the first week, you get super used to it, because it's just like repetition.
Okay, so but, I knew, because you and I were together during that time, and was that difficult for you, going to eighth grade again?
Kind of, like, knowing that I had already done it was kind of suckish, because I wanted to just keep going, and I wanted to get out of school as fast as I could. But I think all in all, it was probably the best decision.
Yeah, I think it was too. I mean, I remember your mom was very sad because she had to make this decision, and she talked to me a lot about it, didn't know what to do, because she always wanted you to be happy. She really always wants you to be happy. And I told her that I thought she was kind of giving you another year to just relax and be a kid, because you'd already done eighth grade.
Yeah.
And you had done a pretty good job, so I knew that, you know, you would be able to do this and it would be better for you.
Yeah.
So then from there, you went to public high school, South.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great. I mean, tell me, how did you like that school? And what was the difference, I guess? Get more friends?
Like, my first year in high school was definitely an interesting one, because it was my first year in high school. I had gotten A's in math, which was definitely not what I was used to. And I was like, is this like how it's going to be the whole time? Is it this easy? But no, it was probably because I took eighth grade twice. But the first year was pretty interesting, because you're trying to like find all your friends, and which...
Was it scary?
It was definitely scary. But ironically, every single friend I had made my freshman year, I didn't keep friends with them. Because I think I had a lot of the older upperclassmen were my friends, because I was in drama.
Okay.
So they all kind of graduated. But by my senior year, I was like the upperclassman that apparently everyone knew of. Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, Alexis, I know her. But I didn't know that. I thought I was like, an aunt. Like, I didn't think anyone knew who I was.
Yeah, but you have to tell everybody why, because you were really big into drama.
Oh, yeah.
Not the bad kind of drama.
No, I was the drama club president.
Right. And what kind of plays did you do?
I did musicals. I did regular plays. I starred in two Shakespeare's, which was Twelfth Night. I was Sebastian, and then I was Titania in Midsummer Night. Dream.
Right, which I came to see you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was amazing. So here's another part of Alexis that's so creative. So she draws, and she acts, and she sings, and she plays piano, and she taught herself a lot of what she plays on piano. She also is an incredible baker, and she cooks. And let me share with everybody out there why. Alexis doesn't have any fear when it comes to her creative side. Is that right?
I'm like the Steve Irwin of creativity. Like, I have no boundaries.
Right, which I think is incredible, because for all of us that are listening, for those of you who have attention deficit, there's a lot of adults out there that I work with that are so incredibly creative, but they can't do what they want to do because they're so terrified. That perfection stuff comes up, and they just can't move forward. Now, how is that for you, the perfection?
I never really even think about perfection. I just kind of just go for it, and I'm like, oh, well, if it turns out bad, then
try again. And here's the amazing thing. Almost everything she touches turns to gold, and
So she doesn't worry about the perfection, and it is perfection in so many ways. Even though there's no such thing as perfect, it's very close
to
being perfect. So that's something that is, she is living proof of, if you release the fear, then
you can make magic.
Right, which you have done. So, okay. So what was it like when you were going to high school, when you had to start the first day of school? What, was it any better than elementary school?
I cried the night before. I cried. Because I was afraid of course, being me, I was like, what if someone offers me drugs? Like, I'm not going to know how to respond to that. I don't want to do it. How do you say no? What if? And I was, like, afraid of peer pressure, and, like,
yeah,
that was big. But if you don't associate with that kind of stuff, it never comes up. It never came up for me.
Wow.
I was like, well, I didn't associate with myself with those kind of people because I didn't want that. So, ultimately, it's not, like, it's the kid's choice.
Right.
But
see, what's so amazing about you is a lot of people, a lot of kids, as you know, and adolescents, not kids, but adolescents and adults with attention deficit have more of that risk of the whole substance abuse. But you were able to completely stay away from that. You didn't need to self-medicate. And why do you think you didn't need to self-medicate?
I don't know. I guess I've been always taught that those things were bad. So I was like, well, if I do it, it's not even going to help. It's going to make it worse.
Right.
So, I mean,
you were on medication too, which was
great. Yeah. I was always taught that it was like not the magic pill, like you said earlier. It's just something that's going to like help me. It's going to give me a boost.
Right. Exactly. But you needed other things as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's why I was with you too.
Yeah.
That's why your parents continued to have me come. Which was great, because I was with her all through high school, too. And we have to tell them about your last semester in senior year. This poor kid, she, you know, it's like for most people with attention deficit disorder, especially adolescents that struggle with that mundane stuff of school, the boring, boring stuff of school, the last mile of that race, which may be the last semester of your senior year, you fall apart. And that's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Academically.
Academically, like, my emotionally, physically, just everything was,
yeah, you did. You fell. So I came in, because I hadn't been with you the semester before that, but her dad called me back, and I came in. We went to school. Her mom and I went to school, and we just made sure that she was going to get out of high school, and I worked with her, and we did a lot of makeup work. And
oh, my God.
We got things done, and she absolutely graduated from high school, and she did not want to go to college, which I wouldn't want to go to college if I had her creative mindset, because...
See, I would have gone to college if it made a difference. See, like, but since I do makeup and...
Yes.
Special effects, there's no such thing as, like, I mean, there are schools to learn how to do special effects, but the stuff I'm learning at work every day.
So let me tell them about that.
Okay, yeah. That would be probably.
So Alexis met my life partner, soon to be my husband, Stephen Ariste, and he loved Alexis. He's been in the entertainment world for years, since he was 19 years old, at I think 22, he was the general manager of Warner Brothers Music. So he really gets the creative mindset. He put the band Survivor together. He's just dealt with these kind of people forever. He sees Alexis and he's going crazy because her creative mindset is just amazing. It's just, she's released all this fear, and anything she touches, she can do. So he managed to get her an internship with two young girls who do prosthesis.
Yeah, like...
makeup? Explain that.
It's like kind of like the show Face Off. I don't know if anyone listening watches that, but it's like monster makeup, like the zombies and ripping off arms and
right.
Dead bodies. And we also do beauty makeup too, but
right.
we specialize in the...
Which Alexis had been doing long before she ever got this internship,
she was actually doing these things herself. She was creating these outfits, not only for Halloween. Did you do it for anime? Or?
I did it for Anime Expo, Comic Con, but I started doing it because I really wanted to be a zombie for Halloween. And not any zombie. I wanted to be, like,
the best.
A spitter from Left 4 Dead. So I was like, okay, well, we're going to make this happen because I don't want to look like I put body paint on my face. So I looked up tutorials and I, like, took those and I morphed them into what I wanted to look like. And I did it and I went to school and I made a girl pee her pants.
That is so funny.
I mean, afterwards, I kind of felt bad, but
she was so scared?
Yeah, but she wasn't very nice to me, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, so here we go. Get back at somebody. Okay. But so anyway, so she gets this internship with these two young girls, and she's just been doing incredibly well. And, in fact, this past, I guess it was Friday, I had asked her because she helps me sometimes with some stuff. And we still see each other. I see her once a week, but she said, I can't come because I'm doing Justin Bieber's makeup. So she was actually working on his new video that's coming out.
For the song Lolly.
Right. And so with the other, I guess the other two girls were there too?
It was just Jill that time.
Okay.
But.
So they were working on the makeup for Justin Bieber and the other people in the video. So she had some fun with that. So, you know, I guess one of the reasons I asked Alexis to come on today, even though the main theme of my show was back to school, I kind of covered, you know, what needs to happen there. I wanted the parents that I knew I had them as a trapped audience to listen to this amazing young woman who tomorrow will be 20. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
And she's living her passion. And she is going to be, remember her name, because you'll see her in my book, because she is going to be an incredibly, incredibly successful person. And this is all without getting a 4.0 index. It's not always about getting the grades. It's about making sure that you follow your passion. And what I want people to see is that attention deficit is not a death sentence, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not. I was always taught that I just had to get past school, and then I can start doing what I love. So if I – it's like eating your vegetables before you get dessert.
Exactly. That's such a great analogy. I love that.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you from my website, Alexis. Somebody just sent this in. And how do you disconnect your fear of failure when you start a new project or endeavor?
Before I even start a project, I'll do a lot of research into it. Last week, I'm starting on doing these giant paintings of galaxies with spray paint.
Wow.
So I looked into it. I saw a lot of videos of people doing it. I just watched them and watched them and watched them. And it's all down to the point where you're not going to create anything unless you just go for it. And if you mess up, it's no one's going to judge you. It's all your own. It's literally your own, like, creativity, and it's your own project. So
let me ask you something. Let's say you go to start do something new that
mm-hmm.
you never did before. And it doesn't exactly turn out the way you thought it needed to turn out. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I would look at it and I'd be like a little bit disappointed, but then I'd be like, okay, let's just try it again. Like, let's start over.
That's great.
And I've done that a lot. Like, I think I have like 3 mess ups in my studio right now that's just sitting there like, oh, you messed up on me. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just paint you over.
Wow. So you have a really good attitude about messing up.
Yeah, because I always found that mistakes are just, like, hiccups. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're also special.
That's a great way to look at it. Mistakes
and
are
it makes
hiccups.
It different, because if you want to be perfect, then you're a cookie cutter. And I don't want to be a cookie cutter. I want to be, like...
You're definitely not a cookie cutter, Alexis.
Thank you.
I can tell everybody who's listening, she's not. She's amazing. She's incredible. Okay, this is for me. What can I do to help my 14-year-old son, his ADHD, to overcome fear so he would be willing to try new things? Okay, so I think Alexis can help me with this too. We need to find out the level of the fear, and is this related to anxiety?
Yeah, because especially for me, I suffer from extreme anxiety to the point where for a good month I didn't leave my house.
because I was afraid.
What was that?
It was when I got, it was the restraining order.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yes, yes. You were very concerned about a young man that she was in high school with. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it just, anxiety just consumes, it just consumed me, and it also consumed a lot of my creativity. It stopped.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. So how were you able to release that fear and anxiety eventually and get back to what you needed to do?
Well, I went to my psychiatrist and we finally got me on the right pills. But what really, really helped is listening to music, just shutting off the outside world and getting into your own musical world.
Which is a great thing.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, music, for this person who asked the question, if your son is into music and he wants to give himself a pair of headphones if he doesn't.
It's wonderful. Like, my parents really, they were always like, one earbud out because we want you here in this world, not in. But I would never really listen. Like,
yeah. If they got to that point,
I'd be like, okay, well, I'm just going to go. Also, cartoons help a lot.
Cartoons?
Cartoons, because it's, you find yourself, like, just, like, in, like, because there's so many frames of.
So you find yourself in the cartoon.
Oh yeah, and then the I don't want to like say the idiocy of it, but like it's so like not. It doesn't
the
take,
animation of it.
Yeah, the animation, and
yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of like
thought process
to like, watch a cartoon, and it brings back the child, and it,
which is great.
Yeah, and it makes you laugh, and you forget about your problems for a little bit.
Yeah.
That definitely always helped me.
Yeah. Now, that's a great idea, because forgetting about your problems is, and being able to put them away. For this person, you know, if it was my son, too, what I would do is probably find a good therapist or a coach, or if the medication that he's taking isn't right, or if he's not on medication, and you wanna pursue that, you see a psychiatrist. I always recommend psychiatrists because they're psychotropic medications and anybody else doesn't really understand.
Yeah, a lot of people I know think, like, personally, I wouldn't be able to do what I do without my medication, because when I'm not on my medication, I'm a wreck. I am a spaz, and I worry about everything, and I can't get anything done, and I tried getting off of my medication because I thought, okay, well, what if I try to just wean myself off of it, then I would be fine. And no, like, I know personally I'm always going to be on meds, but that's just me.
Right. Right. And that's okay. I mean, you've accepted that they're not the magic pill. So it's not like,
yeah.
You know, but it's in combination of everything else that you do. You see me, you go and talk to Dr. Mule and all those things that you need to do to make sure that you're staying in the right place so that you can be successful. So in terms of taking your son to see somebody, I think that would be a great idea. And whether it's a coach or it's a therapist or it's a psychiatrist, and then, you know, also encourage him to just try to release the fear and encourage him to pick stuff up that he wants to do.
Another thing I used to do, I don't know if he plays an instrument, I play piano. I would literally just sit at the piano and just go at it. And
right.
That's how I learned a lot of the songs I learned, is because I would focus all my energy on learning those songs, and it would make me forget. And also, it's pounding at the keys. I don't know. It helps a lot.
Yeah, no, because you get out your frustrations.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and also I would encourage you to talk to your son about his fears. Find out what's the premise of the fears. Where are they coming from? You know, what's the genesis of them? And what can you do to help him in any way?
And also, like, no matter, and you have to, like, let him know, no matter how weird it sounds, like, the fear sounds, because I used to have incredibly, like, weird fears. Like, I was like, what if I go outside and I lose all gravity and I just blow out in the sky? Like, that used to be one of my fears. And I was afraid to tell anyone because it sounds ridiculous.
Right.
But once, like, I finally was like, you know what? I need to tell someone. I told my mom and she's like, honey, that's not ridiculous. Like, it's a fear.
Right.
And
And she was right, because she handled that the right way. She
and
didn't make fun of you. She let you talk to her.
So, like, you just have to let them know that no matter what the fear is, like, you're not going to judge them. Everyone has fears.
That's right. That's great. That was a good point. Okay, here's a question for you. How did you, how long did it take you to find the right meds? I don't remember. How long did it take you to find the right
meds? I've been taking meds since I was 5.
Okay.
I've been on pretty much every single
stimulant.
We finally found the right one, I believe, my freshman year of high school. We found one that worked really well. We just had to make a few adjustments on...
What stimulant are you on?
I'm on... Not...
Vyvanse?
Yeah, I'm on Vyvanse.
Okay.
And mixed with the antidepressant I'm on, which helps me with my anxiety, I take fluoxetine. And
Which is Prozac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been through 3 different antidepressants to find the one that, like, fixed my anxiety. And that was the biggest struggle. Like, the ADD one, it was definitely there was something wrong. Like, I'd be, like, shaking, like, all the time. Or I'd cry randomly. And that's definitely something that would be wrong with medication, but they would switch it, and it wasn't, like, too big. But the anxiety one, it was either, like, I'm not going to get anxiety or I'm going to get it. It was never one or the other.
Right.
So
when you finally found...
When I cried. When I finally found that right medicine, I finally felt like I could actually live.
Wow.
Like, it made such a big difference in the way I, like, could see the world, and... I wasn't afraid to, like, pick up a plant because what if it's poisonous? What if it hurts me? Blah, blah, blah. I could
pick it up. Wow, that's an
exhausting
way to live.
No, it was horrible. I lived that way up until my junior year.
Yeah, I remember.
And then I finally.
Yeah. Oh, wow. See, that's why you can help people with these things, too. So how did you feel when a med did not work? Like the stimulant? You said you just got shaky or?
I would always, when I knew it didn't work, I'd be like, okay, well, I'd go to my mom and I'd be like, well, I don't think this is working. Because there would always be something like, yeah, like I would shake or I would still not be able to pay attention. Or,
do you want Adderall?
Yes, Adderall. Adderall works for some people. For me, it put me through these mood swings where I would, I was in class and I'd just start crying and everyone would be like,
something.
What the heck?
For everybody who's listening, here's what I found with Adderall. And again, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm just sharing with you my own personal stories and stories about people that I worked with or I work with. Adderall seems to kick off emotional component when there is a big emotional component. And that's interesting because you had high anxiety. Not to make a joke, but you had high anxiety.
Oh, no, it's not a joke.
And no, it's actually the name of a movie, which is pretty funny. But you had high anxiety, and, you know, I think Adderall can kick that off when it's not under control. My son ended up in the emergency room when he was 9 years old with the mother of all panic attacks. It was so bad on Adderall.
I've pretty much, like, there's many times where I'm surprised I didn't end up.
Right.
Like, because I guess I was so afraid of... That's another thing, like, the parents out there, never bring up psychiatric, like, hospitals or stuff like that. Because my parents used to be like, well, do you need to go to, like, the psych ward? Because if you think you do, we need to take you. And, like, they wouldn't take me to, like, the hospital. They'd take me to, like, the psych ward. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not crazy. Like, I used to feel like I was crazy. That's another reason I didn't really tell them about my anxiety for a long time. But
you would talk to me about it.
Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't send me.
No, God, no. No, but we would talk about it. But I didn't, you know, at times you just really don't even know unless you're inside, you know, the person, like, can really feel, like, exactly what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with my own kids. I didn't know some of the level of what they were going through because, like you, they were afraid sometimes to tell me things that they were feeling for fear, I guess, that I would think that they were crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, one of the fears that I wanted to share with everybody that I noticed that a lot of kids with ADD have is fear of death or fear of...
Oh, that was the biggest one for me.
Your parents dying, right?
Yeah.
That was the other one.
I couldn't have sleepovers with my friends because I was afraid I would wake up at their house and I wouldn't see my parents again.
Wow. Yeah, see, and that... You all have to be aware of this. When you're seeing fears and anxiety come up, ask your children some questions. Let them feel, right, Alexis, that, like, their savior, that they're there for them.
Yeah, that and also something that really, really helps is information. Like,
right. You're
going to go, okay, so what are you afraid of? And then they'll be like, I'm afraid of the end of the world. Okay, let's go on the internet and let's look up
the end of the world.
The end of the world. Let's see what it says on the internet. And I was so afraid of 2012. Like, I remember crying a lot, like thinking, oh my God, we're all going to die in 2012.
Oh, December 21st.
Yeah, we're all going to die. And I thought we were all going to die. My mom's like, Alexis, this is ridiculous. And I was like, no, it's not, we're all going to die. She's like, we're going to go on the internet. We're going to look this up. And that's what we did. And
it helped.
It has a lot of, there's, like, when you really think about it, you're not going to die in 2012.
Right.
Like, we weren't going to die. But as a child, like, with a high creativity, like, I have such
creative
a
creative side.
A high...
And anxiety.
Yeah. It puts two and two together, and it makes it so real in my mind
right.
that I'm like, oh.
Well, here's something you remember that I did with you. Is it possible?
Oh, yes.
Probable.
That's a big one. I share that with a lot of my friends, and
yeah.
It helps them.
So, like, for example, if somebody, your kid has fear of flying, this is how I learned about this. My therapist, because I had terrible fear of flying, I had to go on a trip, and I didn't want to go, and it was a work trip, and he said, okay, I'm going to ask you two questions. First is it possible that the plane will crash? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's asking me this question. I'm going to kill myself. And I went, yeah. He goes, is it probable? And I stopped and went, no. Because plane crashes don't happen every day. So it's a good thing to ask your kids. I forget what it was that I asked you.
I used to be afraid of, like, broken glass getting into my food. Which
oh, okay. So we did the possible probable
thing. Yeah, like, is it possible that there's broken glass in your food? Yes, there is, but
is
it probable?
Probable?
No.
Yeah, and she's used it with other friends of hers. So use it with your kids when they have really bad fears. You know, talk to them. Let them tell you about them, and then do the possible probable thing and see where you get. So the other question is, were you scared when your medication wasn't working?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, for the ADD medicine, not really, because it was always that way for me since I was 5. That's all I ever knew.
Okay.
But for the anxiety, then yes. Like, I would think, like, oh, my gosh, like, it's not going to, like, if it's not working, what if nothing else works? What if this is it? And
so here's a really good question. What did you say to yourself to get past this fear or anxiety that the meds won't work?
Really, it just a lot of, like, meditation.
Wow. Okay.
A lot of.
This is what I teach, yeah.
A lot of just clearing your mind and
breathing
and making you time, like putting time aside for yourself,
right,
and doing something you really enjoy doing,
which is great,
which is really it's and for me it was art, and a lot of my favorite art pieces that I've created, whether it be like on the piano or like drawing or painting or baking, like the best things that have come from that were when I was afraid and
wow.
I was putting all my energy into that.
Was it reflected in your drawings, in your art?
Oh, definitely. There's this one drawing I have on, there's a website called DeviantArt, and it's of this like girl crying, and that was one of the biggest anxiety attacks I'd had. And it has over 30,000 views.
Wow.
And it's every day it just grows and grows.
Amazing.
And
I have to go on deviant.com?
Deviantart.com.
Deviantart.com. And what would it be under your name?
My username is Kisa903, K-I-S-A 903.
Okay, that's great, because everybody can go look at this.
Yeah, it's called Sad Anime Girl, because I'm that creative with titles.
Wow. That's amazing. You're incredible. So I guess kind of to wrap up, what would be your advice to parents to help their children when they're starting school? No, whether they're little or they're adolescent or they're, 18 and go to the last year of high school or go to college?
I always believe that the best way to, prep your child is, the day before they go to school, or right when they're about to leave. Even if you want to do it every day, just look at your child and be like, you don't have to be the best. I just want you to be the best you can be.
Right. And the other thing I used to say to the boys every day they left for school was, school is what you do. It is not who you are.
Yeah.
And that's a big one because so many people define themselves by their big houses or their beautiful cars instead of what's inside.
Yeah, or their good grades. And
right. And if your child is really putting effort into school and is not getting straight A's, please don't make them feel that they're less than.
Yeah.
Because I think you can.
Oh, I definitely could because all my other siblings were straight A students and I was this black sheep, going back to that reference.
Well,
I was like, hey.
But as you got older.
I made cookies.
But as you got older, I think your parents were more able to see your wonderful creative side.
Yeah.
I mean, I know your mom just goes crazy with what you do. She thinks it's wonderful.
She's like, everyone stop what you're doing.
And look at Alexa.
Look at what she did.
Yeah. So, I mean, they really do. They absolutely appreciate the level of her creativity. They really do. But just like everybody else, I mean, we all get stuck in that place of you go to college and what are you going to major in?
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many people out there, ladies and gentlemen, who don't have jobs, And there's nothing wrong with going to college. I think it's great.
It's wonderful.
Right. What I did with my younger son, who knows Alexis, is I knew if I made him take the SAT that his stress level would go crazy. He suffered from depression. I wasn't going to do that to him. I found a school up in San Francisco, and I hope everybody would research this school.
That school's amazing.
Academy of Art University, and he is learning how to compose music for movie, television, and video games.
Like if I didn't have this amazing opportunity that I have for this free schooling, basically, I would have gone there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I get calls from them every single day. Hey, you want to come to the art institute? I'm like, no, I'm sure, but thanks.
No, it's really great. And one of the things they do up there is because his major is music, when he does have to take the mundane, boring English class, it's geared towards music. So he does very well because he's going to graduate with a BS in fine arts. He's got about a year left. So, and I'm proud of him because he's got straight A's up there because it's his passion.
Yeah.
See, I mean, that's what this is all about. Find your child's passion, and you're going to see them succeed and do the best they can. So we're going to sign off. We're going to say goodbye.
Okay.
And I want to thank you, Alexis.
Oh, no, thank you. Anytime.
For being here today. And I'm sure all of you enjoyed listening to her and her story. She's an amazing, amazing young woman who's going to be 20 tomorrow. I can't believe that. I'm getting old. But
I'm getting old. What is this?
And me too.
I still eat dinosaur chicken nuggets. This is ridiculous.
That's so funny. So I want to say goodbye to everybody who's listening. And next week we're going to have a really exciting show. One of my friends who is a special ed teacher is going to be on, and we're going to talk about what's happening in the LA Unified, where they're no longer doing special ed. They're mainstreaming everyone. So I want to hear her report on how she thinks that's going to go. Not good. It's probably not. And I wonder if anybody else around the country is going through the same thing. She's also going to be talking about some tips for parents and, how to help your child just kind of feel better about themselves and not feeling so different. So I think I hope all of you will tune in next Sunday at 4:00. Again, this is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD. If you need to contact me, you can do so on my website, missadd.com, or my Facebook page, Miss ADD. If any of you live in the Southern California area and you want to come to my adult support group that I run for CHAD, Children and Adults with ADD. It's Wednesday night at the Center for Learning Unlimited, 2785 Pacific Coast Highway. Starts at 7:30, ends at 9, really doesn't because I'm there from 7 usually to 10. So everybody likes to hang out. It's a wonderful group. We have a lot of growth in the group and a lot of love and acceptance, which is what everybody needs. So I think that's it. I want to remind everybody to use your mindfulness and stay in the moment and have a wonderful Sunday. I will see you next week. Take care.
How do you know how many people watch?